Welcome to the Black Alert Podcast, your melanated reference for all things Star Trek across all four quadrants. I'm Raina, and today I'm joined by Bridge Crew member Dre. What's up, girl?
What's up?
We were discussing Season 2, Episodes 7 and 8 of Star Trek Lower Decks. Let's get into it. On hand.
Yes, indeed. Boy, there they go. They keep making the references that, man, you gotta either really have watched almost everything related to Star Trek, or you have to like ask the fandom, what is this reference? Because they reference a lot of stuff, especially stuff from the animated series, which you can watch on Paramount Plus as well, because that's where all the Star Trek content legitimately is now. But if you haven't watched the animated series from that throwback from the 70s,
yeah, might want to do that.
You might want to do that. Yeah,
there's a lot of Easter eggs popping up. There's a lot of little things and big things, you know, stuff in the background that you kind of miss sometimes.
Yep.
You know, I'm watching, too busy cracking up and laughing, and I'm like, oh, wait, I missed something. I got to go back.
Yeah. And somebody will point it out on Twitter, and they're like, did you see this? And I'm like, yeah, I did, actually. Or no, I didn't. How did I miss that? And it can be something as simple as the layout of another ship that's displayed on a wall somewhere or something.
Literally.
Or it could be, you know, one of those... It could be something as big as an alien race that we saw only one time in the original series or TNG or whatever series. And boop, there they are. They done popped up in Lower Decks. So
I like that they do this. You know, it's a way to incorporate all of the series into the show.
Yeah, and if it's canon in Star Trek,
a little bar, you gotta use it.
They're going with it. They're like, yeah, we gonna reference this. This did happen, people, whether you like it or not.
I love that. You know, a lot of it is making a joke of it. You know, they have like they'll set it up as a joke, and you go, oh yeah,
like I remember. Right? I remember that. That was super weird, or that was a loose end they didn't tie up, or
plot hole. Oh, okay.
Yes, which there was a major plot hole that they tied up in this week's episode. But let's talk about last week's episode, which is where we get Billups the distress call from his
Andy
mother. Yo.
Oh, gosh. Let me tell you something. One, his name is Andorithio. Come on now. Andorithio Billups. I can't. I was dying.
I was like, his name is what? All right.
Okay. And we learned that in his mother, who, I'm sorry, that's Luxana Troi vibe.
All day. I was like, she seems familiar. Whose mother have we encountered that's like this before?
Big entrance. Of course, you know, she would call her son Sip and like, hi, darling. I'm calling to see if you've copulated yet. Like, oh, man. Poor Andy.
Yeah. And the whole deal is that his whole world was founded by people who love Renaissance fairs.
Yes, definitely a Shakespearean Ren's Fair vibe. I love that their ships are named after like dragons and magical creatures.
Man, they were like, don't call it a warp core, call it something else. I can't remember what they were saying to call it.
And I was like, are you serious?
They were serious.
Very serious about it. And when it went straight into like Excalibur kind of
side. Yeah.
But yes, this from Queen Yelana.
poor Sam, he had imposter syndrome a little bit.
Yeah, he did. You know, he doubts himself. He's actually quite, he's a very good interviewer. And he doubts
himself. He is.
But, you know, he's got Tendi on his side. I'm skipping Tendi and Rutherford since, you know, he's fun. Just saying. They're adorable. But, you know, he pushes him a little bit. He's like, look, you've done this and you've done that. Yes. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Big confidence boost. And in the meantime, we have, you know, Mariner and Boimler just.
They deal with the most ridiculousness when they're together.
They really do. And it's usually because Mariner's doing the most, or or Brad is being a know-it-all and it doesn't work out for him.
No. But, you know, they balance each other out. You know, so they have to escort a sentient computer, Agamus, voiced by Jeffrey Combs, to the Daystrom Institute. It's good to have Jeffrey Combs back.
It is. Fans have been asking for it ever since the new series have started, ever since Disco. That was like one of the first things that came up. People were like, oh, cool, Star Trek Discovery. So is he going to be in season two? Where Jeffrey Combs at? We know he got the juice. We know he got the, you know, the love for the franchise because he's been in it how long? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's been on every series.
Just about every series.
As at least one character.
Yeah.
He's given time. Yeah. But that was fantastic. That whole second plot with them dealing with an evil computer. Just plug me into that console over there and I will make you all the water you need. Just plug me in.
And what are these defective replicators? Oh my God. I mean, obviously this one was destroyed in the ship crash, but they really need some better replicators on the ship, on the Cerritos, because really, black licorice?
That was funny. It kept spitting out black licorice.
Like, oh, come on. Disgusting.
And then they found the fruit that tasted like black licorice.
Like, come on, really? But, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures. And have to definitely deal with that. But we also deal with a lot of, we've got the resurfacing of Mariner's abandonment issues. She's still kind of throwing it in Boimler's face about him and his time on the Titan.
She is, and I'm wondering if they're going to touch on the root cause of this, because it's clearly her biggest issue. Like, I don't necessarily think it was one of her parents, because they're both still kind of, you know, active. Well, we haven't seen her interact with her father yet. We see how it goes with her mom.
Oh, Lord.
So how it goes with dad is a really good question, but I'm starting to wonder if maybe it was a really close childhood friend, or if maybe it was, you know, an ex who is the root cause of this, because she was just like, you just left like you always do. And I'm like, oh boy, here it is again.
Yeah, Travis and I were talking about it last time for episodes 5 and 6 about, you know, she keeps throwing it in his face, and it's like, we need to dig deeper into Mariner's past. We need to go way back. We need to find out what the cause of this frustration and anxiety she seems to feel about being abandoned.
Yeah, what is the inciting incident for this attitude and this issue?
No way.
You know, because it's to be honest with you, it's starting to kind of get a little old, and if they don't resolve it soon, I'm just gonna be like, I need y'all to move on to something else or resolve this for her. You know, I think if we get a result, I think if they give an explanation, it'll be something that's like, oh, okay. But even then, it's like, I wouldn't continue to play it up as much as they do.
No, because, I mean, it comes up a lot.
It does.
And it's something that she really holds against Boimler. Boimler, on the other hand, seems to be finding his niece on the ship. You know, finding his way. It's his time to shine. You know, of course he stumbles along the way, but, you know, he's really he's coming into his own. He wants to go on the special away missions, and of course, Mariner destroys that. But Anthem, that was funny. Okay, thank you, computer, for missing on me. But no, he seems to be really taking initiative and finding himself, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, him and Tindy, because Mariner and Rutherford. They both know what it is they're all about, right? Sam is struggling still a little bit because of what happened to him in with the memory loss. So I can kind of understand why he's regressed a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the other two, Tindy, she's in medical and stuff, but she's still trying to, you know, not be so timid, yes. I think.
Absolutely.
You know, and she has Sam's back for sure, but sometimes I still give her the side eye, like, you doing too much, chick. I understand this is your best friend and you love him dearly.
Best friend.
But please calm down.
Best friend. I think he's a little bit more than a best friend, but you know.
It's possible. I'm like, all right. It's kind of, a lot of fans are like, please don't put them together. But I'm like, the writing's kind of on the wall. So
I
don't know what to tell y'all.
It's just plain.
It's right there.
Right there. Anything else about this episode you enjoyed?
It was, I like how they get to the Daystrom Institute. And it's just this whole, like, storage area with evil computers. And they start to activate, and you see all the little logos popping up, including, if you look to the left of the screen and you pause as they pan out, you see one of them has the logo for CBS.
Yeah.
Did you
see that?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I played that. I was watching the episode and I saw it. And I was like, that's the CBS logo. You called out your own network as an evil computer.
Exactly. I thought that was very daring.
Bold move. Oh, yes. Very bold move.
I was like, oh.
If Lower Decks doesn't come back for season 3, we know why.
What happened? My bad.
But so no, that was somebody. Definitely. Yeah, I hope somebody somewhere in the executive board has a sense of humor, man.
A sense of humor. Just like, okay,
we see you. We appreciate what you did. Don't do it again, though. Don't do it again. Don't do it again.
Yeah,
one time. But it was several different logos actually that were notated. I can't remember all of them, but I want to say one or two of them were the logos from some popular video games and things like that. Yeah, it's something that, you know, if you pay attention, it's Easter eggs. And then there's the ship that they see when they crash land on that planet.
Yes. I was trying to dig that up and I was trying to figure it out.
So a few people have brought up that it looked like a ship from Star Wars. A couple people said it looked like a ship from Battlestar Galactica, I think. And then there was also a couple people that said it came from like one or that came from like a video game or something like that. So it's a few different ships
Fandom.
that, yeah,
Like it.
it's looks like something that came from multiple fandoms, because it's been a few references. They're like, oh, it's from this, it's from this, it's from this. I'm like, I don't even know,
Well, this
but
isn't
I'll
the first
take your
time
word
we've
for it.
included other sci-fi genre elements or shows or fandoms. So that's cool. You know,
It
it's
is.
showing some connectivity to the rest of the genre.
Right. And if no other science fiction franchise is, you know, capable of doing it would be Star Trek. That's like the one right there. I know that, look, all you Star Wars fans, Battlestar Galactica fans.
Raising my hand because I'm part of
Yeah.
Mortal.
Stargate fans, you know, Babylon 5 and everything, Farscape. Look, we love y'all here at Black Alert Podcast. We all have multiple things that we get into, but our bread and butter is Star Trek. And we're just saying that it's probably the flagship sci-fi franchise. Everyone knows what Live Long and Prosper is all about, where it comes from. Unless they, you know, live under a rock.
That is true.
Now, my one criticism for this episode, though, actually goes back to Billups, and the fact that he's celibate because he doesn't want to take the throne. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with being celibate, not at all. But to me, it just seems like it's not ridiculous enough. Maybe it's a 24th century thing.
I mean, it's kind of a flip on the trope that princesses were, or the monarch, the next in line, usually the princess would have to give up her virginity to elevate her status. It's interesting that he would have to deal with say that he would become king, and his mother's totally fed up with him. She's like, "Look, I don't know what you like about this sciency thing that you're into, but I
Yeah.
need you to come take on your responsibilities." I mean, she goes so far to save the whole explosion on the ship.
Fake
Poor
her own death.
own death. Poor Tandy was having a whole Mike Sullivan moment from Monsters, Inc. When he thought that Boo died. Like, she was over
Yeah.
there crying about Rutherford being dead again, only for them to be sitting at a feast.
Right.
He tricks him into fulfilling his duty as he's supposed to, as she
Right.
said.
Which,
I mean,
I
which
mean,
wasn't bad, but he couldn't get it up.
oh man, he put too much pressure on himself. That's
He
what
was
it
struggling.
was. It
And
was
with
performance anxiety.
the sitting on the bed.
Yeah, they're just waiting, like.
Really, come on, man.
Yeah, I don't, but I mean, for me, the problem with it was that I didn't find it to be ridiculous enough, given what it is they do on this show. I was like, okay, I kind of get it. You're trying to turn the whole deal with a male monarch or, you know, whatever in this society. Doesn't matter how they identify, they can't be a virgin to ascend to the throne, which again, I think is not truly ridiculous when especially when you have people who are celibate for their own reasons. Sometimes it's religious, sometimes it's, you know, health issues. They can't or, you know, so on and so forth. I would have went with something a bit more ridiculous. Like, how funny would it have been if all of a sudden he does something like stops eating a certain food or drinking a certain beverage, or he's introduced that he can't drink a certain beverage, or he talks in third person, and it's like, why does this character talk in third person? And then this episode comes along and we find out, oh, if he talks in first person, that breaks the rules for him, you know, to have given up his crown, and now he has to go and rule amongst his people, you know?
It wasn't as far-fetched as you would have liked.
Yeah, it just wasn't silly and ridiculous like I would expect from this show, because they had Mariner and Brad find a fruit that tastes like licorice.
Oh, yeah.
Now that right there is funny because that's funny. Of just how ridiculous it is. But him being celibate, okay, yeah.
Okay.
That's funny, I guess. It just kind of, that whole element of his story just, it was meh for me.
Okay. I respect that. I think part that I enjoyed the most was like finding a little bit more about Andy. You know, that's, you know, his name. I swear, I have to write that down somewhere. like Ander, what? I was like, oh no, this is unacceptable.
It goes with everyone's name though. The ridiculous names, Brad.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, you're right. It does. The only one that seems to think the name is Devonna. I like her name, Devonna.
Tindy, yeah. I like Devonna. Actually, that's a good name for a daughter, anyway. Yes. Look, Devonna is on the list of girl names, you know, from Star Trek. I'm just saying, because there's Kira, there's Ezri, there's Lwaxana. You know. Think I won't name a little girl Lwaxana? I sure would. Absolutely.
Oh man, I can imagine roll call.
Look.
What?
Lwaxana? Lwaxa? Yeah. Like, oh God. Maybe this wasn't a good idea for her.
No. But it's okay. It's her name. She will embrace it. And everything comes with it. So we have episode 8, which I think... God. Help me.
Look. For those of you who are on Twitter, you see... the controversy that it's caused, just like in last year's episode with Brad Boimler being naked. Once again, there's a lot of pearl clutching and, oh my God, this is Star Trek now? It's always been Star Trek, but okay.
Okay.
We know the main issue, though, it's a male character. That's the issue. That's really the underlying issue. But whatever. So it starts out with an alien species that we've only seen in the animated series.
Pandronian.
Mm-hmm.
Who happens to be a drill instructor and is doing an evaluation of the Doritos crew. And we have a bridge crew and lower deck swap. So the lower decks will now be bridge crew and in charge. And the bridge crew will now be part of the lower decks doing the grunt work. And yeah.
It went sideways immediately.
Immediately.
With those evaluations, man. Because
the drills. Wow.
Everybody got up in there, their little booth, and within minutes, failed. Mission failed. Mission
failed.
The only
one that seemed to not fail was Boimler. He had it in the bag. But he wasn't proud of his score because he's an overachiever.
Yeah, the first time out, he got, what, a 79?
He's like,
he was like, again.
Again, hit me.
Meanwhile, we see Mariner just going through it with every single one of her simulations. I mean, the horse tossing her off.
Stomped on. Not only tossed her off, but like, disrespect. And it was like, fail.
The way that horse just...
it beat her up. And, I mean, you know, her mom talks about it later, because obviously all of this is recorded. Like, so all of that horse training that she did and didn't come into...
2 years of lessons, Mariner, really? And so we see that, and then we see her run that simulation. We see Sam, he ends up in a simulation that is like the one at the end of Star Trek 2.
And
he was struggling so hard to just open the door. And I'm like, wait a minute. So he uses his boots. I'm like, bruh, how you gonna open the door with boots on your hands?
We wasted so much time and we blew up. Thanks.
But notice the ship that blew up, though. It was the Enterprise, the Into Darkness film. That was the Enterprise that blew up. I was like, okay, I see you, because it was the beefier Enterprise with the bulkier, you know, main section and the cells and everything. And I was like, okay, I see it. I saw that like seconds before it blows up. Huh?
What do you think it means? Is there any significance to that?
Oh no, they just decided to blow up that particular Enterprise. I mean, at this point, if you make fun of your own TV network as being evil and put their logo on an evil computer, I'm expecting you to just not care about anything anymore.
Blow it all up. We don't need it.
We don't need it. We don't care. We're just going to keep poking fun and having fun. Which, that's, again, I've talked about this before. They're clearly having fun with what it is they're doing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, and we're on for the ride. I mean, I crack up every time because, like, the jokes are just on point. You know, the Easter eggs into the joke, on point. Mindy dealing with medical ethics. She couldn't do one single thing. Like, give the Klingon an honorable death. And she's like, but no, I can't.
Well, it goes back to that episode with Worf. What was it? Season 2? Season 2 or season 3 where he broke his back and, you know, he asked Riker to do that same thing. And Riker was like, no.
We can't do that. But yeah,
Riker was like,
with not following protocol, with she's very emotional. You know, that's something I think her species is not known for, or that we haven't really seen. You know, they're very domineering, very cold. She's on the other side of the spectrum. She's very emotional. She's very connected. But yeah, she failed her drill.
Which is, so far, it's like, all right, everyone's failed so far. Then we get to the senior officers, and they're like, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk.
Oh, yeah, they already taking naps. And then
the red alert happened, and they had to stack cargo containers, and they failed.
Why are they just... Jack cracks me up. He thought he had it, really.
He did, and then boop, they all fell over because it was a whole deal with the ship getting hit, and the containers fell over. Which, okay, before the red alert, Tiana.
Oh my god!
All over that man. I was like,
I love that she swears she's got a potty mouth. I love it, and I know this is supposed to be like, you know, there's supposed to be kids watching the show, but look, then they bleep it out.
It ain't a kids show. I'm gonna tell y'all that right now.
It's Rick and Morty all in there. There's nothing but it's yeah, it's filthy. I love that she her and Shaq be stacking up.
She popped all this blunt when he was asleep, sniffing him and everything, and I was like, dang girl, you just going in on this man. Alright. Go for what you know, I guess. Okay.
But yeah, so it's funny to see the two groups quit for a day. But obviously, you know, we got Boimler, who seems to be doing pretty well, except for he wants the perfect score. We see baby board, which I need a stuff. I need a little doll for.
It was that whole plot point that they tried to tie up with. If you see infant board in maturation chambers, you rescue them.
You don't leave them there.
You don't leave them behind. How many times do we see them do that in Star Trek? And it's like, oh, God. You guys keep leaving babies behind. It's almost as bad as Tom and Janeway leaving behind a salamander babies. I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Like, thank you for fixing that plot hole.
Yes, stop leaving behind the children. We can't do that. Okay? Children are the future.
Exactly. We find out treat them well and
let them lead the way.
All right, now.
I could have kept going, but I'm going to stop. Okay, anyway.
So we find out this whole drill test, or all of the tests that they've been enduring on the ship, was basically, you know, the ship was targeted for failure. You know, the drills were released by the Pandronian, Shari Yen Yim. She wanted them to fail. And, you know, she makes this, she says something really, it was painful, but I love how Captain Freeman came back at her. She goes, none of you are the best. You're on a California class ship. Most of the Federation doesn't even know you exist. And Captain Freeman says, the smallest ship, the toughest of the crew. I love that. She's like, yeah. I don't care who you think we are. We are not disposable. Okay. And we will get the job done. I love that.
Which is messed up, though, because they did leave him behind for 6 hours.
Oh, my. Yes, I'm sorry. That was the opening. Hilarious. They were literally out there and said, oh, we have a call. Let's go over there. Mind you, we're going to leave all our ensigns, 4 ensigns outside. Come back 6 hours later. They almost died.
They were freezing. Oh, man. I'm like, yeah, that was bad, Captain Freeman. You can't get away from that being a bad look.
However, we're still a good ship.
Yeah.
We may not think like a book. We may fail at some things. You know, we do some stupid stuff. But he's not going to give up on her crew. And I like that.
She's not. Yeah, that's it right there. And she knows what it is they aren't capable of. And we see that displayed when they start going to different space anomalies, one right after the other.
Look,
it's a temporal black hole. No, it's just a regular black hole.
The entire time. She's like, oh my God, what do you mean? Hi. But yes, they will do some of the work that the rest of the class ships don't do.
Yeah. You know, she knows that.
Do that.
Which, good
job.
Yeah, which I have to bring up your background. Oh. You guys can't see this, but Raina's background is what I have called the scene. with Boimler and the black square, spread eagle. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Don't forget my what's the black guy's name?
Jet.
In the back. Yeah.
Look. I'm gonna say this: The Naked Now. We've all seen that episode. It was literally the second episode of the TNG series, in which we see naked people all over the ship. They talk about Data and his performance. He ends up with Tasha, famously. We see Beverly and Picard, like, doing their, wanting to do their thing, but they don't. Get over yourselves. It was funny. And that was the context of that whole simulation. What do you do when everyone's acting out?
And oh my gosh, the Mariner holding it together. Because, you know, and I truly identified with all of it.
Yes, because we see naked Sax with the doctor all over him, man. I was like, yo. And then we see
Ansem in the hallway.
What was that?
Ansem and Stevens in the hallway. Giddy up, Horsey. Giddy up.
I don't know where you end and I begin. Oh!
Oh, yeah.
And then Jennifer, the Andorian. Look.
Oh, Jennifer.
An Andorian named Jennifer just kills it for me. So I'm starting to wonder if she had parents who were on Earth, or if maybe one of her parents is human. I don't know. How does an Andorian get the name Jennifer? Is that a nickname for her? Or what? I need to know why this chick is named Jennifer. But we see her smooching with the Trill chick that dating or is dating? I don't know.
He's talking to, the one that likes the crustacean. She likes to hang out with the whale.
Jesus. It's like the Star Trek mascot animal, whales. Anyway. So we see the Naked Now reference as well. I thought it was funny. It traumatized Mariner to the point where they're on the bridge. And she freaks out. But notice what station she takes. Notice the station Mariner takes on the bridge.
Tandy was there. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Beckett went straight to that captain's chair.
Yeah, she sure did.
Yeah, I'm like, chick, just get over your issues and go be a captain somewhere already, because that's what you are. I think she's trying to not be like her mom.
And not hold on to these responsibilities, because, I mean, it's a tough job. You know, it is. You'd rather just hang back and do grunt work than be in a position of authority.
Right, but it's like, okay, chick, at some point...
You're going to have to take the reins. You're going to have to just get it together.
Yeah, at some point you're going to have to get it together, chick, because you can't do the grunt work forever. That's
no, and she's sure. Definitely absolutely qualified.
I mean, she's probably overqualified.
Overqualified.
Honestly, yeah, she's probably overly qualified. Because of just how good she is at her job as the Starfleet officer.
That's a discussion for, we will continue that, all that in the books.
Yeah. But they even failed that simulation as a crew, and it's like, oh. But we learned that, you know, it was rigged. The chick rigged the test. But it was a good coming together moment for the entire crew, the seniors, staff, and the lower decks.
Absolutely. And what each of them brings to the Doritos. and that they are willing to do what it takes and that they have the capabilities of being in Starfleet. They're not just, you know, as I said, disposable. And they work well together, even though they have their ups and downs and hot mess of crazy adventures, which I enjoy immensely.
Yes, it's good stuff. They keep surprising me every week, and they keep offending people while they're at it.
They're doing it, yeah. It's like, who cares about their feelings?
Exactly.
Evolve. Please, it is 2021.
What do we want to see before the season ends? Because it's only two episodes left after.
I know, it's crazy. It's only two more episodes. I definitely want to see some resolution to the abandonment issues between Mariner and Boimler. Definitely want to see that. And I definitely want to see what happens between Rutherford and Tendi. I would love to see what happens with Captain Freeman and her status in terms of moving up in rank. I would love to see her husband, like, other than, you know, maybe he can visit.
The view screen, yeah.
You know, I don't think there's anything else. Those are my top issues. Those are my top on my list.
All right, that's good.
What about you?
It's good stuff. That's a good list. I just want to see them be more ridiculous than what they already are doing.
Well, I think they're moving
do something ridiculous, you guys, and keep those references coming, those Easter eggs, man. Keep them coming, and more guest stars too.
Oh, absolutely. I think a surprise guest star. Other than Jeffrey, who else was on there?
It was Alice Krieg. She was the Borg queen in the simulation. They brought her back. And if you look at the end credits, they show her, but they also show Phil Lamar. He lended his voice work to the episode from this past week as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tusker?
I think he was the...
conquered by the sentient the computer?
No, he was in this past episode.
Oh, he was? Okay.
With the simulations, yeah. What role he did, I don't know. But I saw his name at the end of this week's credits, which, for those of you who don't know, Phil Lamar was the voice of several animated characters, including one Samurai Jack, if you remember that cartoon.
Oh, Admiral Freeman. Okay, there we go. Cool.
Oh, he's the voice of Admiral Freeman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, look, so according to the internet, Command Lieutenant on iEcritus, so on the last episode, he's the one with the who was bossing around the bridge crew when they finally got swapped to be in the lower decks. It's like, get moving.
Oh, okay.
Follow your line. There's the computer too in episode 7. Mall, which was I mentioned, was it looked like a Tusker. I don't know what the exact species name of Mall is. Never seen this particular one. But the planet that they took the evil computer Agamemnon, like in the beginning of that episode. And the guitar player from episode 7, the Ren's Fair, destroyed the comlink.
Oh, that's funny. All right. That's cool to know. He's a very talented voice actor.
Oh,
he's one of the best. Which I'm gonna I would really love to for them to have Cree Summer guest star.
Icon.
Another extremely talented voice actor. I'm hoping Don Lewis will reach out to her, or she reaches out to Don, because they were on a different world together. And I'm hoping we get that.
Put it into the universe. Yeah.
I'm putting it out there. But yeah, more definitely keep the guest stars coming and those deep references and the ridiculousness. And all of the humor that they do is straight up and down my humor. I grew up on Simpsons, and Family Guy has been a long time favorite for me. So the humor doesn't bother me at all, because it's my humor. I'm terrible like that. But yeah, those are things that I want to see. So if you guys are listening at Lower Decks, please give us Cree Summer, please. We love her.
Exactly. We love her. And with that, tune into Black Alert Podcast for more reviews and our shenanigans. Any shout outs today, Dre?
Special shout out to the fans, as always. This week I'm gonna shout out the fans that we have in England.
Awesome.
We have fans over. Yeah, we have fans across the pond. Yeah, so yeah, thank you guys in merry old England for listening to us. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. And to everyone who listens to us and gets a kick out of our reviews and our conversations on Black Alert Podcast, we appreciate you and hope you have a lovely, lovely afternoon and the rest of the week. Just keep tracking.